Ooh, that was a shitty clap that I just did.
Oh, the clap's a clap, Ted. You can't say it's a shit.
Don't ask TJ Henry Yoshi what the sound of one hand clapping is.
Now, fucking, do you want to do the intro? You want me to do it?
Go ahead and do it. You know what? I'll do it this time, because you've been doing a bunch in a row.
Because, yeah, they're all, like, my episodes.
Yeah. Hey, Alex.
What's up, Tattles?
Let's talk about E3. I just threw a, I bought a $2 Santa hat at Payless, like, shoe source, because it was going out of sale, or out of business, and, it's really, really warm. Video games.
Yeah, alright, whatever, cool.
Alright, so it's the day, I think. Let's see, I think E3 still technically goes on for, like, a few more days, right? By the time this goes up, it'll be Wednesday, it'll be, you know, tomorrow. We're recording this Tuesday after all the big conferences ended.
We're not going to regret uploading this, right?
No. E3 always has, you know, the big conferences. It has the Sony, the Microsoft, the EA, the Ubisoft, with Tom Clancy. And then Nintendo ducked out. I still don't know why. They ducked out, and now they just do, like, videos on YouTube that they just upload at the same time. Last year, they had a real big fuck you to Square Enix, because Square Enix had their show at, like, 9:30 in the morning. And Nintendo set their Direct, which they could upload at any time, because it wasn't live. They set it to fucking 9:30 and, like, forced Square Enix to move their live broadcasted show, like, an hour and a half later. Bunch of fucking assholes. Anyway, this E3 was actually pretty good. Like, compared to, like, last year's?
It started off pretty shit, though, let's be honest. Like, in my opinion, because, again, everyone's got different taste, if you go down the list in order of games that you right now just gave me, of games that came out, or that were being shown, I don't care about, like, half of these.
And I only listed the games that I cared about, too. Like, there's a bunch of games that EA showed off I didn't give a single fuck about. Like, there was a lot of games that EA and Microsoft showed off that I could not give less of a shit about.
Yeah, sorry.
But there's a few that showed off that were actually, like, pretty fucking good. You want to start off with EA, Alex? The first one it was, like, Friday, I think. Friday at 7 p.m. and it was the only one that day for some reason.
I guess they just really wanted to be, like, the first ones to show all this shit off. But, EA started off with fucking, like, a bunch of games I didn't care about, but they showed Battlefront 2. Now, the most I played out of Battlefront 1, I think I mentioned this, was just I played the demo just to try it out, and didn't really get sold in the game, but it had...
Are you talking about the new one?
The new, like the Battlefront that came out just, like, a year ago, right?
Oh, okay, I thought you played the original one on, like, PlayStation 2?
Oh, no, I did. I played that in Battlefront 2, like, a shitload with my stepbrother. And then I had that shitty little PSP one, where I fucking sent 200 stormtroopers against 50 Wookiees, because you had Planetary Conquest, and the soldiers didn't stand a chance. 50 Wookiees took all of my dudes out. It pissed me off. Because you don't watch the battle live. I just saw, like, the number. They show, like, the numbers between, like, you, like, your spaceship and then their planet. And I just saw the 200 just drain down to zero. And they only 10 Wookiees fucking died. It pissed me off. Anyway. So, yeah, I used to play the old Battlefronts all the time with my fucking stepbrother. Because he had a PS2. But, the new one, finger quote, that came out, like, you know, just last year on all the new gen systems, I played the demo of that with my friend. I didn't buy the game, I just played it. It was pretty alright. The only thing I really remember from the game, off the top of my head, is that I thought this is the only time I've ever said, wow, in a video game in my entire life. But when I was walking through the snow on Hoth, I turned around and looked down, and you actually make footprints in the ground. And all the footprints you see are all made by other players.
That's pretty cool.
That's the only time I've ever actually said, wow, in a video game. I thought that was super cool.
Now, we're not talking about the DSP wow. We're talking actual wow.
Like, wow, this is the power of a PS4.
But the new Battlefront, I think, came out last year. EA got the license for it, and they shat it out, and it was just a reskin of Battlefield 3, and it was missing, like, the majority of the features from the PS2 game. Like, there was no spaceships, I don't know if there were vehicles.
There were, there were.
There was no campaign. There was a lot of shit that was just not, just straight up not in the game.
See, the way I didn't like how the vehicles handled is that vehicles were power-ups you picked up on the ground, instead of just being vehicles on the ground you can jump into like in the older games. That's what kind of sucked. It broke my immersion. But yeah, I didn't get sold in that game, and a lot of people didn't either. Everyone said it was mediocre, so hopefully the next one will be pretty good. If it's actually pretty good, I might consider getting it. Because I at least still play it, like I just mentioned, like 8 fucking times. I loved that game. Another game that came out that, for whatever reason, you put on this list, but I actually could care, like, I couldn't care less. Fucking Life is Strange 2.
Okay, now Life is Strange is, it's a walk-in simulator, kind of. It's a walk-in, talk-in, time-traveling simulator. Just like my Homestuck comics. It's just like you play as a high school girl, and then you get time travel powers, and you use it to do a bunch of dumb shit. And then it's like, hey, you used your powers for a bunch of dumb shit, and now the storm's gonna kill everyone. And I was like, oh shit, look at that. And then they made like a, then I guess this is like a prequel for it, and I liked Life is Strange. I thought it was a fun game.
I only know a couple things about Life is Strange is that, like, the main two girls are lesbians. There's this one scene where a guy very slowly climbs up a ladder with a paint bucket, so put the Metal Gear Solid 3 theme over. And then there's this one scene where I guess you're, like, captured, and this guy comes to save you, and someone is just showing off, like, all the bad choices. She's like, kick the thing at him! He's like, okay, he kicks it at him, it, like, does nothing to him, he just points the gun and shoots him. And I'm like, ha, that's funny. Because, you know, I'm a fucking psychopath.
One thing I did like about how they presented Battlefront 2 is that they came out and they're like, yeah, we got a lot of, you know, we got a ton of positive comments and, you know, a good amount of criticism. And just everyone started laughing at them because Battlefront sucked dick. But the second one looks really good. It looks like I'll probably buy this.
Hell, because I like that you get to play as the Empire in the campaign. That looks pretty fucking sick.
Yeah, EA showed off another game. I put it wrong in the list here, but there's a game that came out in like 2013, 2014 called Brothers: The Tale of Two Sons, and it was a super fun game. It was, you played as these two brothers. You used one controller to play as both of them. It was like the left stick and like L2, and the right stick and R2, and you know, you went on like this big adventure over this like fantasy world to go find this tree of life to get some potion to save your father from some disease. And it was really, really good, and it was a fun game. It was heartwarming. And EA bought them out. They bought the studio. And I remember this very clearly. EA said that they were interested in making a Brothers 2 game and that it would involve guns. And absolutely every single person who, like, even people who, like, didn't, like, enjoy that type of game were like, no, that's fucking terrible idea. And then, like, any sort of sequel in that studio just kind of, like, disappeared for a while. But their new game is Brothers with Guns. And it looks really, really good. It's called A Way Out.
Yeah, it's about two dudes who are maybe brothers or something who have to escape from jail or prison.
Yeah. It's, like, it's a co-op story game. It's kind of... one thing that caught my eye is that it's not completely linear from point A to point B story game. There's different ways you can go about handling things. Like, well, a few of the examples they showed off at the conference was you needed to get out through the laundry room, and you could have one of the players go and like there were two dudes working back to back, and like you could make one of them mad by slapping him in the back of the head and like accusing the other guy of it. Then having the other person playing the other brother tell, or not brother, I don't know, maybe they are brothers, they're probably not though. Tell the guard, like, hey, those dudes are about to go fight. And then he's distracted, so there's only, like, one guard at the door. And then the two of you can take him out, and then, like, that's how you can go about that. Or, like, you could just straight up murder him. Like, there was like, two different ways to go about everything. I don't know if it was, like, pacifist slash murder or whatever the fuck. But that looks like a really fun game. I'm definitely going to play it. Yeah. Besides that, what else did EA show off? Need for Speed. Who cares? Call of Duty. Who cares? Was it EA's that showed off Assassin the Hood Egypt Edition?
No, that was Microsoft. And let's start off right with that, because I have some things to say about Assassin's Creed. Now, Assassin's Creed, I haven't played that since Brotherhood. They made a pirate game, and now they're making an Egypt game. I'm still not going to buy their game, despite them trying to appeal to me super hard, because it's the same game every time. I appreciate that they're at least trying to do a little bit of a new thing, where there's a fucking a level up and an item drop system now in Assassin's Creed to, I guess, somewhat spice it up. But I don't really know. Maybe when the game's done with all of its DLC and I can get it for, like, $30 on a summer sale, I'll pick it up. You know, that's what the games are actually worth. But,
see, combat was the biggest problem I had with Assassin's Creed, because it was just, they come at you one at one, you press the counter, and whoop, 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 there you go, whoop, ha, ha, whoop. You just dodged, you just did that for like 4 minutes, and then that was combat. And from the trailer they showed, they had a gameplay in it, and I'm thinking, like, I can't tell if they just animated it to look like combat, kind of like an action RPG, like Dark Souls or something, where, like, he's dodging in between, like, sword swings and stuff. Like, that might be it, and if so, then Assassin's Creed with actually fun gameplay could be pretty cool. But it's, I'm gonna err on the side of Ubisoft being a bunch of lazy fucks and just, like, crapping that one out and be like, all right, good enough, whatever, we'll just reskin it. Look at, there's some pyramids that you can climb, and oh geez, Assassin the Hood, baby.
I think it looks okay right now in the little bit of gameplay they showed, because they showed some more gameplay after, like, the big showing. Looks okay. I want to see more of the actual, like, combat, like you said. I want to see more of its item drop system and see if it's really different enough to be worth picking up. Because, like,
yeah, because the last Assassin's Creed I played was number 3, and I stopped playing it when I got to Benjamin Franklin telling me how great it was to bone old ladies. And I'm like, this game sucks. I'm getting bored of it. I turned it off.
Yeah.
Never played it. Never played it since.
But hey, at least aesthetically the game looks really fucking nice. But
yeah.
Like you got the sword, the Kopesh, they got that right. That's fucking awesome, dude. But enough about my fucking boner here. Let's go to a game that I think had an amazing trailer. I know I was watching it with my friends. They loved it too. Was the fucking Shadows of War.
Yeah, Battle for Middle-earth? They had the previous game. What was that one called?
I think it was just called Middle-earth Shadows of Mordor.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I never played this game. I know that my older brother and you really, really enjoyed it, and it looks like a ton of fun.
Well, I actually never played the original one. I just know a lot about the Nemesis system, because I really like that system. I've been considering getting the game, but I just never really got around to it. My friend's the one who played a shitload. But I fucking love the idea of that, rather than have, like, some actual rival character, you make your own, pretty much, by fighting these big-named orc dudes, and you kill them, and they keep coming back stronger and shit. And they have all these different lines to say to you about what you did to them or what they're gonna do to you, like, all this crazy shit. You forge your own guy in the story. And, like, the guy actually mentioned on stage is they liked that Nemesis system so much because it kind of gave everyone a unique, their own unique gameplay story experience. Because, kind of like with, like, an RPG like, say, Chrono Cross, where something's going to be a little bit different every time based on the item drops you get, Shadows of Mordor is going to be a little bit different every time because your Nemesis orc can always be a different guy with a different set of weaknesses and strengths based on how you fight him.
And okay, so it's like, is it kind of like Mr. Freeze in Arkham City, where you had to hit him with, like, a takedown attack 5 times, and, like, say you just snuck up behind him and punched him. That shit ain't gonna work this time. Now you have to find a different way to go about it.
Yeah, so, like, now he's guarding his back. You killed him with, like a poison attack. He'll come back, revived, and now he'll have, like, a 50% reduction to poison damage. I saw a guy posting, like, a screenshot of a guy who reduced damage from everything, like, besides arrows. He was called, like, Grognak the Cowardly. So his rival was actually afraid of all types of damage. He would get scared and run away, not actually fight him. But he was also immune to all types of damage. So he would, like, set him on fire, he would take no damage, and he would just run away. He had this really weird rival. And that sounds like a great idea. Like that's a unique fucking rival for somebody. Not everyone's gonna get fucking Grognak the Cowardly. And nope. Someone sent me some text messages. Oh, well, don't matter. So, fucking, what I like about this, the new Shadows of Mordor, Shadows of War, is that now that Nemesis system, like you mentioned, is getting expanded upon with, holy shit, who the fuck is this?
Just go mute your phone.
Oh god, it really is unimportant. Okay, I'm sorry. Cut all that out. I thought it was going to be something important. I just see it's for my sister. Like, actually couldn't care.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah. So, as they showed, as he mentioned in the trailer, the Nemesis system is being expanded upon, where now these guys can be allies.
You, like, mind dominate them. Like, you sneak up to them, like, in the trailer, the dude's like, I'm gonna... Like, he was, like, going on about how he was gonna murder you, and then, like, I think you, like, beat him up a bit, and then you just, like, use some ghost bullshit, and just, like, whoop, now you're on my side.
Yeah.
Like, oh. So, anyway, so, Sauron's got a fortress. That was
pretty good. Like, you serve the White King now. It's like, Dark King, White King, yeah, what's the difference? It's all the same, mate. Like, I fucking love his name was Bruce. Well, it was Bruce with like a Z, but everyone just calls him Bruce. Now, here's the thing. That guy was the most likable fucking orc I've ever seen in the game in a long time. He comes
Then you've
up...
never seen Gorgrek John Bricksmasher from Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons real play podcast.
He comes out of the little mind control animation and immediately just like I swear to God, he just did like finger guns. Like, White King, Dirt King, eh, don't make no difference to me, mate. Just a little finger pop
ding,
thing.
Ding.
Like, he was... That guy, he was really just like a smile and a little like sparkle away from being like a main character. And here's the thing that I was just mentioning, that Nemesis system. Bruce sold me so hard in that game, I'm going to be sad if I don't get Bruce or someone like Bruce when I do that part of the story. Because that guy is fucking fantastic. So the Nemesis system is, rather than just crafting your Nemesis, which you still do as they showed off with that guy who is the machine, who had that amazing line where it's like, you killed me, you made me what I am, you created the machine. That's such a fucking sick line.
Because what the dude thing, what it was is that he got cut in half and then, poop, yeah, put back together, sees the dude again, now he's like, what, Gurgrosh the machine or whatever?
Yeah, and then that's what happened, that's how that one orc got the name of the Cowardly. Like, they're all like, they all get a little like personality based on that shit, on their name, because, you know, fucking orc names like that. But anyway, so now you still make like a nemesis, but you also create your nemesis to turn into allies. So you might, like, when you get the chops in to like fight them, let them go, or take control of them, you might choose to fight and beat the shit and kill them so they come back stronger, then recruit them when they're a stronger ally. You're basically crafting your nemesises, and you're crafting an army off of guys you pissed off and then bring onto your fucking team. Which is... Again, I'm just blown away. This is like a fucking genius idea. I fucking love it, and I'm like so sold in this game. And please, don't give everyone Bruce, but make Bruce's whatever like personality type that was, like, make that guy just really good. Make sure at least everyone gets at least one Bruce at some point in the playthrough. Not always at the beginning or at the end, but like just somewhere, give me that guy. Give me that personality.
Everyone's got to have a Rex.
Yeah, everyone's got to have a guy just like him. Because, like, obviously, it's not going to be a unique, like, thing for, like, every different type of orc. But it's going to be, like, a voice based on whichever orc personality you get, you know? So, so whenever, like, one was Bruce, say, just call it, like, the underscore bloodthirsty type, that'll probably be what Bruce's voice is attached to. Please let that orc be at least one per playthrough, because I want that one. He's fucking great. Or make everyone at least as good as him, because holy shit, that dude's amazing. Completely sold on that game with that fucking snarky ass orc.
There was a few other things that Microsoft had that I was really, really excited for. Ori and the Blind Forest was a game that came out a few years ago. They recently had like a remastered version. It was by Microsoft Studios, and they had a pretty low budget. It was like $1 million, I think, which sounds like a lot in game development. Is not a lot at all. Is not much.
No.
And it's a Metroidvania, you know. And it's combat, they streamlined it to just be like you press X and you auto attack things that are near you with little pew 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 pew, little laser blasts, or you know, like you unlock abilities, like you have a big explosion, you can kick off of enemies. Every like move they give you can kind of like you can finagle it into movement, and so the entire game is like you run around this forest and like you've got so many movement options. It's fucking awesome. You can run, you can jump, you can double jump. If you're like me and you put all of your points into the agility tree, you can triple jump. You can kick off of enemies. You can explode enemies nearby you. You can hover in the, there's like minimum 18 different ways to move around. And in a Metroidvania, like it encourages you to like get to areas you're not supposed to go to yet by using all this ability shit. And that game's getting a sequel, Ori Will of the Wisps, which I'm excited for.
Never played it, so I got no comment for it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Let's see. Sea of Thieves, that was showed off. That game looks pretty fantastic.
I like the idea of it. Like I mentioned earlier, I fucking love pirates. I have been waiting for a fucking good, just like, pirate online game to play, steal treasure, and be an asshole. You know, like, I just wanted a game where I could fucking be on a pirate crew with other players and go do piratey things, you know? The only game I've ever seen to do that, at least right, and I'm talking online, was the Pirates of the Caribbean online game, which was like a fucking, like, it wasn't a web browser MMO, but it was a fucking, you know, MMO made by fucking, like, Disney. It's a free-to-play.
My brothers and I got permabanned from it because we found out that there was no swear filter, and so we just ran around just like swearing left and right at every player we could until we got banned.
But the game looks really I like its little like cute little aesthetic. It looks like Monkey Island, but like, you know, a multiplayer game. The way like everything the way the art style looks, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like a 3D Monkey Island. It's got, you know, solid, I don't want to say pastel because that's not true. And I don't want to say cel shaded, but it's got solid colors, a little bit blocky, but most importantly, it's a little bit silly. It's not too silly, but it, like, what they showed in the trailer was there's a bunch of people on the pirate ship, you know, they're manning different things, and then it's like you know you're the player is the captain. I don't know if everyone's the captain. Or if it's just, like, the one dude in the trailer.
It'll be, like, party rules, where, like, there's a tank and shit, and the tank is, like, always, like, the leader. That'll be what the captain is.
Yeah, and, like, he goes down into the keep, and he has a map. And it's got, like, some puzzles on it. It's like, oh, you know, go this direction from this area, and blah, 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 blah. And they find, like, an island and shit. And, to get... At one point, they need to get somewhere, and they don't want to climb there. So a dude just jumps in the cannon and gets launched out of it. There's, like, skeletons. One of them has a pirate hook arm. You loot ships and, like, get treasure chests. It looks like it's going to be a fucking ton of fun. And the best part is, all of the Microsoft exclusives are also exclusively on Xbox One and exclusively on Windows.
Exclusive, they say. But yeah, game looks fantastic, and I think it'll be really, really good. But hey, we've only seen a little bit of it. We'll see more if it's actually going to, you know, hold up. But from the trailer... From that little gameplay thing, the little like silliness with like, the announcer and everything, or the narrator, I'm very optimistic about it. I'm really gonna be keeping my eye on this one.
A few more things. They have the Microsoft's conference is just like, hey, what's up, guys? We're Microsoft. Here's 44 video game trailers, and they just played one after another until they got to like every now and then they'd stop, like Sea of Thieves. They stopped, showed a bit more, then continued. Like they showed.
For the games they were trying to get us a little more excited for. The games they cared about more.
Yeah, like, there was a game called Super Lucky Tale, which is just, like, it's just a platformer from, like, the PlayStation 1.
First off, it's not Conker. Everyone was upset.
Yeah. It started off with, like, just showed, like, a squirrel, and it's like, oh, shit, look at that! Oh, wait, no, it's a fox. Okay, maybe, no? Okay, yeah, no, oh, no, okay, yeah, this isn't Conker at all. I don't know why he's, like... Now, got Conker's color in his shirt.
Based,
you know,
on
whatever.
How the worlds looked, how he jumped off Dick Coins, that looked kind of like Mario 3D World to me. Like mm-hmm. just like it. But I'm the only person who seems to say this for some fucking reason. But that little intro music that was playing when he was during the trailer, I think was stolen from Super Mario fucking Galaxy. It sounded like
It sounded one for one like Super Mario Galaxy.
Like, what was that first Galaxy where you fight the big Petey Piranha dinosaur? It was legitimately just that theme. With, like, a different fucking, like, horn. What the fuck? Like, please get on that. If they can get all controversial based on Metal Gear Solid stealing from a Russian composer and it didn't really sound all that similar, bitch, where's the controversy for this one? Because, But, yeah, game looks like, I guess, for whatever reason, Mario 3D World, the one that was just, like, okay and pretty alright, is the one they feel like ripping off. And they're just making that game now. And as you put on this list, let's just probably talk about it. The fucking one guy called the Xbox One the X-Bone.
Yeah, the absolute best moment of Microsoft conference was when they went off, they were the first one to show off the new Assassin's Creed. And then he comes out, he's like, we've got the new Assassin's Creed. I don't know, he was French. This is my French. and it's coming out for the Xbox One. He called it the X-Bone on stage. I love it. It's so good. You couldn't fuck up harder if you tried than calling it the fucking X-Bone. There's also Xbox backwards compatibility. They're like, hey, you can put in 360 games and Xbox games. Anyway, enough about this other gay shit no one cares about from Microsoft. Yeah. Let's talk about fucking Dragon Ball Z, fucking Dragon Ball Fighters. Fuck yeah, 3v3, suck my dick, Marvel vs. Capcom, you're dead.
Yeah, of course you're excited about this one, but, okay. So, this was actually shown just before E3, but for people who don't follow, like, spoilers and shit, they're probably exploding in hype. But Arxis, the people who make BlazBlue and Guilty Gear, are now making a Dragon Ball Z 3v3 style fighter, and it looks really, really good. They're doing all the exact
Frieza same... has a wake-up super!
They're doing all the exact type of animation styles and everything from Guilty Gear Xrd, so it's gonna look, it looks beautiful, and it's gonna keep looking beautiful. Like, oh my god. Now,
because what it did was, the first time I saw that new Guilty Gear, I thought it was 2D for like 3 months. Because what it is they're 3D models, but they have a ton of work put into the shaders and individual ones for each character, and like all the stages, really, really a ton of work to make them look 2D. And the models, and here's what tricked me, was like, you can watch in the trailer, like, Goku's like standing still and he's got like 4 frames of animation. He just jitters between them like a 2D sprite, despite being a 3D model. And they did that in Guilty Gear, and like, that's what made me think that this was I thought it was like, oh, these sprites look kind of weird.
Because
they look
a little bit off. Like, stop motion esque looking type of animation, where even though they have the 3D models, they still animate them as if they were sprites. They still only do like a frame by frame thing as opposed to actually just moving the model around. If you ever look at the videos on like Guilty Gear Xrd, you can totally see like how the animation works. It really is just shot by shot, frame by frame. It's its fucking style. And it looks absolutely fucking fantastic. And surprisingly though, it's not the exact same game engine, because they use Unreal Engine 3 for Guilty Gear, and now they're using Unreal 4 for this. But the animation technique is still there, and it's fucking beautiful. It's the best-looking Dragon Ball game we have right now, and probably ever will have, because holy shit. I wish everyone who's making an anime game do exactly what Arxis does with their models, because that looks fucking good.
It looks straight out of the show. Like, the fights... And here's the big important thing that sets it apart from all the other... So, you know, like, there's 3v3 fighters, you know, Skullgirls had it, Marvel vs. Capcom...
Is also a 3v3 fighter, but it's not like an anime fighter with big ass combos like that. You jump in the air.
But here's the thing. So in Marvel, when you kill someone, the other person jumps in, and then you continue your infinite combo, right? In this game, when a new thing starts, everyone backs up, they run, and like you know, it zooms in on their faces, and they clash in the middle, and they jump to the left, they jump to the sides, and then the fight starts again. Like, it gets reset. There's no, you can't just combo someone out. There's no, you have, you know, it resets each time. And that's pretty different from Marvel, which, is Guilty Gear's a 1v1. There's no other really big 3v3s besides Marvel, is there?
King of Fighters. But King of Fighters...
That's right.
King of Fighters and Marvel play differently, where King of Fighters, it's 3v3, but you still fight one-on-one. You don't call an assist or anything. And then when one guy dies, the next fighter comes in. So, like, say I'm playing as, fucking... Joe versus fucking King. If Joe loses half of his health and beats King, he'll get a little bit of a health boost, like a little bit of a heal, and then he'll fight the next person, who can be like K-Dash, and then they'll fight. You get a slight heal, and that's it. And fucking Marvel, it's the 3v3, you can call an assist. If you die, the character just jumps back in, the fight is still going on. And in Skullgirls, it's just like in Marvel. Same rules.
All right, but Dragon Ball Fighters looks like it's gonna be fucking sick. Next up, we got a little bit. We covered Assassin the Hood. I keep calling it Assassin the Hood because there was a funny video game meme of taking a cover and like blacking out letters, like Batman became Bamham, and then there was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood became Assassin the Hood. And I've always thought of Assassin's Creed as that.
Now let's talk about the game that I know you are excited about. I'm just going to steal it from you because I want to talk more. Fucking Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Did you even play the first one, you fuck?
No, that's why I said a game that you're going to be excited for.
So, Beyond Good and Evil, you played as a journalist, and you went into, like, all these areas. You snuck around, you beat people up with a staff, and you were, like, you were figuring out all this conspiracy, and you're going to, you know, everyone's going to be liberated, and we're going to live all free and out of this tyranny and shit. And it was pretty fun. It was really good. I think the sequel has been in development for like 14, 13 years. It was 2003 when Beyond Good and Evil came out. I think it was 2003. But I was watching the trailer. And I'm like, this has the aesthetics of like these hover cars and shit. There's a pig person. Okay. But there's like a weird monkey dude here. And then there's a black lady with an afro. It's just I can't tell because in all the there was like I think two promos for Beyond Good and Evil 2 that they showed off before, and they always followed the two main characters from the first one, which were Jade and I feel like an asshole. Paige, I believe his name. Well, he was a pig dude and he had a wrench and he was awesome. I loved him. He could beat people with a big ass wrench. It's been a little while since I played Beyond Good and Evil. But I don't know how to feel about the second one because it's a prequel and most prequel games suck. So I guess I'll have to keep an eye on that one. There was another game that was kind of a weird surprise, which was leaked early, just like Dragon Ball FighterZ, and that was Rayman and Mario Rabbids Kingdom Invasion.
Well, don't say Rayman in that title because Rabbids have nothing to do with Rayman anymore. Rayman's dead.
Yeah.
Ripperoni and
Masaccioli, right?
Like Rabbids and Rayman have been split and just separated, like in a messy divorce. Rayman got his little his 2D adventure games, which are fantastic, by the way. And now Rabbids on their own fucking killing spree.
So what this game is it's Mario and Rabbids and XCOM?
Yeah, it's XCOM.
So, I understand why it's an XCOM ripoff. Well, I guess I don't want to say ripoff, but. It's that type of thing. If you ever played XCOM, it's like a tactical thing. It's grid-based. You know, you manage lines of sight, and you get attacks off that have like a percent chance to hit and all this stuff. And the reason why I think that they went with that was Paper Mario already exists. Mario and Luigi already exists. Like, they've got turn-based pretty much covered. I think that they were like, we don't want to just do another, you know, another turn-based attack thing like that, so why don't we just do something else? Or I don't know, maybe Ubisoft approached them with the XCOM style combat idea. It looks like a really weird game. I'm probably gonna play it, but it's on the Switch, so not unless Smash Bros. There's still a few more days because Nintendo, what they do with their E3 when we get to that is they have the big announcement and then they have like shit throughout the rest of the week for people who are paying attention and watching like the Treehouse where they show off games. So, there's still a week left for them to announce Goku for Smash Bros. So, I mean...
It's over, Tad. I still got that. It's not gonna happen.
There is a non-0% chance that Goku will be in Smash, Alex.
Tad,
okay?
Look, we got Cloud. And we have Ryu. We already have exactly. Two guys. Tad, just take what you got and just be happy.
I fucking refuse.
That kid ended up being right in school, alright?
So let's move on to Sony, and Sony opened up with fucking boom, boom, pow, 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 boom, boom, fucking blew it up. Fucking Sony went in there, kicked down the door, and just shot the crowd. They just took out a flame. They killed every single journalist.
But Miyamoto's the guy who came out with the gun.
That's right. Miyamoto came out with a gun, and he fucking shot Mr. Ubisoft, the owner and like sole proprietor of Ubisoft. Sony showed off a fuckload of really good games. I believe one of the first ones they showed off the new Metro game, which if you don't know Metro, it's based off these Russian novels. It's like post-apocalypse. People are living in like the Metro tunnels of Russia, and it's super, super good. Graphics are fucking incredible. It is really, really super atmospheric. It's a first-person shooter, but like, you know, currency is bullets. It's got amazing areas. The second one was fucking nuts. This new one looks amazing. I love Metro. I love it so much.
I played the first one, but I really, really liked it too.
They also showed off, it's another Uncharted game. I I want to like Uncharted because it seems like a neat game, but all the gameplay I've seen of it has been like cover-based shooting and really, really boring, and I just can't force myself to go through that.
I never cared about it either. Next game.
Next game, Days Gone. And it was the third zombie game shown at E3 this year.
Mm.
Like, goddamn. It was a game they showed off last year where like it's like an open world zombie game. I think, I'm not really sure if it's like pseudo open world, like The Witcher 2, where you just had really, really big areas in the levels. But like, you're a dude, and you got a motorcycle, and like he goes and to like find his friend. And they do something that's pretty interesting with zombies in this, at least from what I've seen, and kind of seems to be a running theme, is
the zombies are more like puzzles as opposed to enemies.
Yeah, they're an element in the game to be utilized as a weapon or as like something. Like in a lot of zombie games, like it's just like, you know, zombies are just there for you to run away from or to kill, and they just keep moving in a straight line. In this game, like there was this fortress that looked straight, just one for one ripped off of Breath of the Wild, like the fucking Boko Blin tree camps. Like, fuck off. Fuck off, Sony. I know that they probably were making that shit way before Breath of the Wild, but I'm gonna make the funny jokes anyway. And like, he's like, okay, there's like 17 people here, so he like takes like a bomb and like blows up a bridge, and then a fuckload of zombies start chasing down and like spooks all the people away so he can climb up there and save the dude. And I appreciate that the main character in this one is just like, just doesn't give a shit. Like, he's not like, oh, I gotta do the right thing, you know, I've got to stay human in this apocalypse.
No, dude, he's, like, chaotic neutral as fuck.
Yeah, he had his friend, and he's like, don't take one more step, or I'll blow his brains out. He's like, I don't give a shit. I'm not here for him, I'm here for you. And the guy's like, what? 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 And then his friend hits him in the back of the head, and then he fucking shoots him, and the guy dies. And that's how he saved his buddy.
Is to add to the fact that he just doesn't give a shit about morals, he just wants to get the job done, is he uses a bear trap to lure over, like, a human being as a fucking way to get rid of something. He just, like, throws the bear trap, the guy gets caught and starts screaming for help, which caused all the other guys at the camp to run over to help him out, and you run past him. Like, that guy just didn't care what happened to that motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. There was another pirate game that Sony showed off, the Skull and Bones. And it was more of a, from what I saw, it was less exploring and more just like, you're on a pirate crew, play the, you know, beat, like, fucking shoot cannons, you know, do all this crazy shit.
Well, actually, there's a thing about this, is that's actually the ship combat from Black Flag. People loved it. It was actually really good, because again, Black Flag is actually one of the ones that people like. Is a little different.
I saw Tim play it. It was actually, it looked really, really good. Like,
it's the one that no one expected to be good, because it came out just like with like, all right, we just made the next Assassin's Creed. Well, it's coming out later this year, and everyone's like, oh, this is gonna be shit, and it ended up being like the best one. But it's actually the ship combat from that game sort of expanded upon into a big multiplayer game. I think it looks pretty cool, actually. But again, I might just be biased. One thing I hate, though, and this happens all the time in these E3 conferences, is when they're having people play the game and pretending to be, like, gamers playing the game.
Oh, God. So, I forgot about that.
That happened in that one space game that I don't remember or care about. We just skipped that one over. I hated that. That was cringeworthy, and people don't talk like that. People don't say, hey, guys, what's going on? Or my favorite, when they're going to the portal, just, see you on the other side. Like,
no one
up.
Says that. No one fucking say. You know what I say when I'm playing PlayerUnknown's Battleground? Hey, we shoved that. I shoved that nerd, you know, when I knocked him down. Let's go put him in a locker. And then I shoot him in the fucking face. Like, that's what I say when I'm playing video games. I don't say, see you on the next. See you on the other side of the portal, my friend. Ha ha. Let's get mad at on this. We could sure have some fun playing our video games. Whoa. I just owned that guy. Check out this sweet loot. Like,
oh,
no,
Jairus Wrath,
off.
Just what I wanted. No.
Yeah, there is a BioWare game that looks like shit.
But anyway, because I don't want to take away from the game we're currently talking about, but I hate that, and this sort of bleeds into this one, where it's like, oh no, the rival gang, the Cutthroats, is here. I'm like, bitch, no one's going to call their gang the Cutthroats. People are going to call their things the Butt Pirates, the Cum Corsairs, the fucking the Bigwigs, the Dads. Like, people are going to call themselves like the stupidest shit.
Just when you thought the seas were safe.
Butt Pirates! Fucking no one is gonna call themselves legitimate pirate names unless they're 13 and think they sound cool as shit. People are gonna call themselves like fuck. Okay, outside of like the most realistic pirate name I can think of is you're gonna call yourself the guys from WoW and call yourself like the Bloodsail Buccaneers or something, but that's it. Everyone's just gonna call themselves like something stupid. Like, honestly, the Cutthroats is pretty stupid. I think that guy that guy kind of took it away right there.
But yeah, Skull and Bones seemed kind of cool. You play pirate ships, you go to areas, you like you capture the flag, or like you hold the thing until you get treasure, you know, you bring that up, you get out of there, and then like after a certain amount of time, a bunch of super super strong pirate hunters will come out there, and you got to fucking book it, and then whichever team gets away with the most gold wins.
Yeah, you have a time limit to basically kill as many ships and get as much loot as possible, and then flee. It's a pure multiplayer only game. Looks like a fun distraction. I'll see how much it actually is to be worn, because I don't want it to be like, say, Battlefront or For Honor, where it's like, oh, this is fun for like, you know, 10 hours, and then you're just done with the game forever.
Yeah. The thing that my brother and I were going, we were sitting here waiting the entire time for Sony to announce it, and they fucking finally, like, it took forever. Like, they waited until the very end to show it off, and that is, of course, Undertale for the PlayStation 4.
Ooh, boy!
I was fucking livid. Oh my god.
I actually didn't see the trailer for this, so I know there's apparently like a special edition thing you get, so please go.
So what it was, it's the trailer got me, because it was like, finally here, for PlayStation owners, the Bone Crusher, and it was like a fucking semi, or like a monster truck shows up, and it rolls down the door, and it's like the little dog. And it's just like Undertale. I'm like, fuck off already, Undertale. Stop reminding me that Hive Swap will never come out or be nearly as good as you. The Collector's Edition is disgusting, though. It is disgusting. It comes with a little booklet that has the fucking gold bind, like those children's storybook things. You know what I'm talking about? Where it has like the gold banner on the left side, and it has like, you know, the intro cutscenes. And then it comes with a fucking locket, a heart-shaped locket, and the inside says Best Friends Forever. When you twist it, fucking it plays the fucking Undertale theme.
Thanks, King's Quest.
God damn it, it's so good.
Thanks, King's Quest.
That's enough about Undertale. Shadow of the Colossus is getting a complete remake, which looks fucking fantastic. Holy shit. It looks so good. Because it's not like they remastered it for PS3 where they just gave it like some updated models and like updated like textures, but this is like a complete redo. It's just like they just remade the game and fucking looks awesome. Two other games. There was two other big ones at Sony. There was Spider-Man Arkham Webslinger. So the Spider-Man game is being made by Insomniac Games, who made what did Insomniac make? There was a superhero game I think they made. Infamous. Were they the ones that made that? No, that was Sucker Punch. I'm sorry.
I can go fact check it right now.
It doesn't matter.
Alright.
But Insomniac, I know, has like a long history with Sony.
They have a long history of Sony of games that apparently were not good enough for either of us to remember.
I think they made Ratchet and Clank.
They made something. But, like, we're gonna get bitched at.
I don't care. So the Spider-Man game, they announced it last year. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, Spider-Man, hell yeah. Man, I wonder how they're going to make a superhero game when they have something like Arkham City to build up, like, to go against. Like, the Arkham games were so good. The answer is, just have the combat be Batman Arkham Asylum. Like, just have it be the Arkham games, where you swing around the world and you, like, you plan out your shit. Like, don't fix what ain't broke. I am 150% okay with fucking Spider-Man Arkham Webslinger. I'm fucking 100% okay with that. That's awesome. They showed like a story mission where you went up to a like an under construction building, and there was a few bad guys. You could like sneak around, like you could beat someone up and like throw a bunch of webs and like silence them, or you know, like, fall down them from above and spin them up in a web. And then you got like a call from Kingpin, and Spider-Man is being all witty and jokey, and he's like, hey, you know, don't let my dudes get captured by the cops, and I'll let you know some bullshit. And then, like, you go to the roof, you chase after a helicopter through the, like, you go off of there, and it continues. Yeah. You continue, like, you just hop out of the play area there, like that little construction area, and you just continue in the open, like, open world city, like there's no break. And, like, you know, you swung and you chased after the helicopter, and then there's a bunch of quick time events, and it looks like a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to play the shit out of it. The other game, the actual game that my brother Zach and I were losing our shit over, was God of War. The new God of War looks fucking awesome. Holy shit.
I love his new weapon. It's fucking sick.
Oh, yeah. So for those who don't know, the new God of War takes... the gist of it is Kratos is going to go fuck up, like, Odin. Like, he's going to go fuck up he's done with the Romans. He's already fucking killed Zeus. He's done with that now.
They're done. Greeks, thank you very much. Now he's going to head over to Norse mythology and say, fuck you, Odin. And just fuck them all up.
It's God of my wife's son. And Kratos has, like, he's calmed down a bit. Like, he finally got his revenge, so he's like, all right. Whew. All right, I'm good for a while. I'm still, like, on the edge, but I'm not constantly... I want to talk about my favorite moment in God of War 3. One of my many ones is when you fought Hercules and, like, you crushed him and you just kept punching him until his jaw came off. That shit was awesome. Anyway, I just remembered that. And also the final fight against Zeus, you punched him and you did not stop punching him until you stopped pressing the punch button. You could continue it forever.
I think it was Poseidon, but I like that one where he's punching and killing that one person. You see it from that person's eyes. Was it Poseidon?
God of War 3 is my favorite, like, AAA, just big budget, just fucking go in there unashamed. I don't give a shit. God of War is awesome. Just go in there, rip shit up. The new God of War, what they showed off last year was, like, almost, like, Last of Us-style stuff. And that made me, like, really... I was like, I don't know how to feel about this. Because it was, like, Kratos was, like, telling his son. Because, like, he found... It's not, like, his biological son. It's whoever his wife's son is. And he's just, like... You can see that Kratos is, like, trying not to, like... ruin this child because he's a fucking crazed maniac who killed a bunch of gods. And he's like, it's similar to King of the Hill a little bit, where that boy ain't right because he's not disemboweling like centaurs.
That boy is incorrect.
But it looks really, really fucking awesome. They showed off some really cool areas. They showed the world serpent, which, if you know anything about Norse mythology, oh boy, the world serpent, like, gives him, like, because Kratos' main weapon in this one, he doesn't have the Chains of Olympus anymore, he has, like, an ice axe.
He's got this axe that works almost like Mjolnir that always comes back to him when he fucking, like, holds his hand out. It's fucking sick.
Yeah, so I'm super looking forward to that. That comes out, I think it was early 2018. It was either early or just 2018. But that was about it for Sony. And then the last one to go, they just did it this morning, was Nintendo. So the first thing Nintendo showed off, because they do their directs like I talked about earlier, is that they showed off a few games. Xenoblade Chronicles, I don't care about that game. If you do,
I'm really feeling it.
Yeah, good for you. I hope you're feeling it. But then they announced a mainline Pokemon game on the Nintendo Switch, which is pretty big. They've always done Pokemon games, unless they were like silly ones like, you know, Pokemon Stadium or Pokemon Puzzle League. Those are all the ones that they did on, like, the actual console. But then it was always, you know, on the 3DS, on the Game Boy, they had the actual Pokemon games. And so there's the mainline Pokemon game on Switch. There's that Pokken is getting, a bunch of new characters. Technically speaking,
the Switch is sort of a handheld system.
I think that's why they're doing it. And then a little bit before this, I think it was a few weeks ago, they had, like, a Pokemon Nintendo Direct just focused on that. And, So there's, like, sequels to Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon coming out. And something struck me, like, last night. I was like, oh, shit. So in the files for Pokemon Sun and Moon, there's a bunch of unused animations. And what they are is they're walk animations for all the Pokemon in the game.
And running.
They have, because it's like, in the Gold and Silver remakes, the Pokemon in the front of your party would follow behind you. And that was, like, you could, like, turn around and, like, talk to them. And it was fucking awesome. And I'm almost certain that's what they're going to bring back in Sun and Moon 2. They're going to have that fucking feature. So, besides that, I don't know what else they're going to do. I didn't buy Sun and Moon. I rented it for 2 weeks and got my fun out of it and gave all my Pokemon to someone to hold on to in his Pokebank. But, like, I'll probably pick up Sun and... Oh, excuse me. I'll probably pick up Sun and Moon, too. What else did Nintendo show off?
That Kirby game that I'm personally really excited for.
That's right, that's right. They showed off... It was just called Kirby.
They don't have a cool subtitle for it yet. But fucking... What I love is that, as you pretty much mentioned in your little bracket, Superstar 2... it's not called Superstar Saga, dumbass. Fucking Superstar 2. Shut up. So I love Kirby Superstar on my Super Nintendo. Fucking game's fucking amazing. I think we played through it.
It
with like every... It's like my test is whenever I get a new best friend when I was a kid growing up, I would pretty much force him to play that game with me to see if I could truly call these men, this dude, my best friend. If they could play and enjoy this fucking game, because I loved it. But everything's like coming back for this Kirby. You got the combined powers from fucking the crystal shards coming back. The animal buddies showed up in that one fucking power up, which some people think are going to be only tied to the power up. But hey, people have been wanting the animal buddies back for a while. You got fucking the allies, the fucking partners, I think they just called them. Your fucking buddies in fucking, when you did co-op in Superstar, where like you would eat an enemy and then turn into your co-op guy, and the second player would play as that motherfucking enemy, like a recolored version. Like, the enemy bonkers were green, you get one, he's a purple one, and now you could play as him. Same with like Bugsy, I fucking love Bugsy. And like, fuck, it's awesome. They're bringing that back. And you combine the powers with them to get the combined powers again. It looks so fucking sick. They're bringing it all back. They're still using the fucking Dreamland engine, though. You can tell by the way the fucking all the animations work. But hey, if it saves them time to make more Kirby, because they've been on a pretty good streak since the fucking Wii game, then fucking by all means do it. I'm excited as shit.
How many goddamn... There's been like... at least 4 Kirby games that have come out in the past year. There was the sequel to Triple Deluxe, there was Kirby Robobot, there was Kirby Fighters, there was Kirby DDD something.
The sequel to Triple Deluxe was Robobot, dingus.
Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't boned up on my Kirby lore.
Came out years later, because Triple Deluxe came back out in, like, what, the end of 2012, 2013?
I'm pretty sure there's another Kirby game for the DS.
No, here's how it is. Okay, so... there's the Wii game, which was Return to Dreamland, which made this game engine. That's with Magalore and stuff. It's what you do with you, Meta Knight, DDD, and the little Waddle Dee with the bandana. Bandana Dee with the spear. There was that co-op game. Then there was Triple Deluxe, which was on the 3DS, which was the like three games in one thing. You had the main story. Yes. So you had the main story, and then you had the two sub-games, which was DDD's Drum Dash, which was a little like rhythm game. Then you had Kirby Fighters, which is this little, like, arena game where you win other multiplayer, multicolored Kirbys, which was multiplayer, and you would fight with different powers and shit. Very simple. Then on the 3DS shop, they made deluxe versions of those two sub-games. So there's Drum Dash Deluxe, which is just the minigame, but with, like, more levels and more music to play in. Same with Z Fighters, more powers, more arenas to play in and shit. And that happened with Robobot. Robobot then came out years later. The exact same format, because again, it's the same game engine. They've been using the same one since the Wii game, with the main game and then two sub-games. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you have the three games, which is the main game, Rumble, and then, fucking, what was the other fucking sub-game? The fucking little RPG one. Fuck. Arena. Fuck. It was Team Clash, that's it. Team Clash, I remember. I'm sorry. I was just brain farting for a second there. I mean, like, how the fuck can I remember? I've been playing the deluxe version. I just mentioned the deluxe version earlier in another podcast episode. Okay, I remember now. I'm sorry. I'm only human, people. But then the deluxe versions of that didn't come out with the release. They came out months later. We got Team Clash Deluxe, which is when I already did like that little bit on our last, like, what was it, Noise Boys episode, where you fight all the enemies, like, all the characters I like came back, like, fucking Terenza got more, like, attention, and I love that guy. I'm glad he's staying in. But, and now we're gonna get the 3D Rumble, deluxe version, like, I think it already is out by now, but that we're getting that too. And, yeah, that's how that whole thing works. That's how it works. That's why you're thinking that there's a shitload of Kirby games coming out. Those are just deluxe versions of the sub-games. But anyway, this new one looks really fucking good. There's a little bit of Kirby for you, motherfuckers, and how that whole thing works. Next game we have on our list here was Pokken EX for the Switch.
Which, like, Pokken, that's something that I have no issues with. I didn't like it that much. But maybe that's because everyone I played with was a bitch and didn't want to take the time to learn it. And I just wanted to play fucking Sceptile, because that's the only game where he's good. And as far as I know, every game I play, the characters I enjoy are always fucking god. They're just terrible. They're always terrible, terrible characters. So he's probably, like, the worst one. But Pokken EX is, like, on the Switch. It's just got, like, a bunch of extra Pokemon. Who gives a shit?
It's just
a
fighting game, whatever.
It's no Dragon Ball Fighters.
The only thing I know about Pokken is that one guy who won Evo and made a tweet like, "The reason I won Evo is that I can now hope for more breaks in hentai." And I was like, "Yep, this game sucks." I know nothing about it. I don't care. It looked kind of boring with the gameplay. All I know is Machamp is playable, and that's pretty cool.
They showed off the Breath of the Wild DLC. They showed off the first one, which is essentially a pit of 100 trials, like they have in a bunch of RPGs where you go through like a whole bunch of trials. Each one you start, at least I think each one, you start with nothing. You just start, boom, you're in your underwear. That's it. You have to go scavenge up all these items and go through all these different trials. I don't know if there's, yeah, it's like the island challenge, but just over and over and over and over again. I don't know if there's like, there's probably not 100. But they showed off the winter DLC a little bit.
They had like
a
bare bones trailer. There's clearly not that much development put into it yet, other than some new art.
Yeah, what I think it is, and this pretty strongly backs up what I thought the winter DLC was going to be, which is they already have a lot of the assets done for a pre-calamity Hyrule. Which, and this is more Breath of the Wild spoilers. If no one's played it yet, if you haven't played it yet, go fucking play it. It's one of the best games I've ever played. If you don't want to be spoiled on anything, like, just skip ahead, like, 2 minutes. Because this will just be real quick. But the Witcher DLC is probably going to be pre-Calamity Hyrule, and it's going to be you and the four, like, Guardian dudes. Because, like, they didn't get a lot of development. They have the pre-Hyrule Castle model. They have, you know, a bunch of areas that are pre-Calamity that they never really got to, expand on. And that's, like, the best... Probably like it's its own standalone story, so it's just going to be like, hey, you know, here's Link and the champions going out and doing something.
Basically,
important.
We're gonna actually play all those memory and flashback sequences you had to collect.
Yeah, like not, you know, not one for one, but it'll probably be, you know,
if that is how it works, I'm looking forward to it a lot because I actually liked all the champions besides the bird one. Like they were all pretty cool.
And then they made amiibos for all the champions. You know, you've got Daruk's protection and. You can get him. He's got. They've all got their unique weapons as well, which is fucking awesome. Revali's got the bow. Daruk's got the big ass mallet. All that stuff. I think those amiibos are really cool. I don't know what they'll be useful for.
Maybe,
but...
Here's my theory about that: is that when you use them, whenever you use the amiibos, you get treasure chests and like loot based on the treasure chest. Like you can get Sheik's mask or Ganondorf's sword, and if you're really lucky, it's probably gonna drop their weapon.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like you can get their weapon when you beat their, like, each of the, again, spoilers, this is going a little longer than 2 minutes, but you can, when you beat, like, their little stories, you get their, like, weapon, like, you'll get Mipha's spear, you'll get, what was her name, Urbosa? You get her, like, sword and shield, and even if they break, they don't recharge, like, the Master Sword, but you can get a new one with a diamond, and you can just craft a new one. So what I'm thinking is that's probably just going to give you, like, a new one, as opposed to having to craft it.
Yeah.
That's my game theory on that one.
But bouncing off of that, fuck off, Fire Emblem. I am so tired of you. You know what Fire Emblem is, Alex? It is Assassin's Creed for Nintendo. They shit one out every single year, and I'm so tired of it. I don't even care about the quality of the game at this point. Except for the fact that there's like six Fire Emblem characters in Smash Bros. Fuck off.
Hold on, Ted.
No.
Have you ever played the games?
I... have played the Game Boy Advance ones, and there's some people I was friends with who are incredibly annoying, and they all just love the shit out of that game series. And man, that seems to be a running thing. Some very unpleasant people sure do love fucking Fire Emblem. It's a fucking garbage waifu game. I hate it.
The only thing I know about Fire Emblem is, like, in the new one, those two girls are, like, hot in it, and that's it. That's all I know. Because that's all people do is just post images of fucking, what's her name, like, Camille, and then that fucking one, like fucking ogre girl, like, Renka or whatever. That's all I know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Neither do I, because I don't know anything about this game or these characters. All I see is pictures of these characters posted, because, you know, quality game discussion on, you know, the internet.
There's also Metroid got two games. Two games.
Ooh.
Gee, Mom, how come Nintendo let you have two games? They forgot my 25th birthday. There's a Metroid 2 remake that's coming out for the 3DS, and it's probably gonna be like Zero Mission. You said like where Zero Mission was a remake of the first game, but they added like a whole bunch of little bits and pieces.
They added a couple of bosses, and hopefully Zero Mission did this. But when you beat Zero Mission, you actually got the original Metroid to play in the emulator. Oh, that's cool. Game Boy. Yeah, but like just like in Zero Mission, where you had like the whole game with like one extra boss, and you had that whole Zero Suit submission at like near the end. We became defenseless and had to sneak around the base, which is actually, I'm pretty sure that's the basis of where Zero Suit Samus' fucking moveset came from, because I don't remember ever her having the stun gun before that part.
Yeah, but that's where she came from.
That's where you did that. That's where you got the stun gun shit.
And then more importantly, they showed off, and it was very, very basic bare bones trailer for Metroid Prime 4, because it was just like, it just played the like music and then do.
It's basically just to show that, yes, we're making it, but we have no progress yet. We're just beginning.
Which is fine by me. I'm looking forward to that because I really, really liked Metroid Prime. I think everyone did.
I did. I loved the shit out of it. I actually fucking beat... back when I was a kid, it was a little more challenging for me to actually beat a game. Find a game that I'd beaten. And boom, I actually fucking went through that one. I had this fucking friend who fucking loved the Metroid series. Fucking shit, dude. I'm excited.
And then the last game Nintendo showed off, unfortunately, was not Smash Bros. Switch guest starring Goku, which, like
it's
I said,
happening, Tad.
There's still like a week left, Alex. They're gonna show it on the Treehouse. That's where they showed the Mario and Luigi remake, where they added a whole bunch of fun shit. Because that's the thing that's happening too, and I'm pretty excited for that. But Mario Odyssey, they showed that a little bit ago, like last year, but it was just all they had at that point was Mario 3D, and this one looks really good. It looks like a fucking sick game. I'm excited for it.
Dude, I'm fucking sold on it. Mario fucking, he can fucking possess enemies and shit, and even human beings for some reason.
Yeah, that was weird to me. So, like, the gimmick with this one is it's all based around hats. It's the Team Fortress 2 crossover events of the season. Mario gets, like, a ghost that inhabits his hat, and he can throw the hat on things. Like, you throw it on a frog, and then, whoop, now the frog's got Mario's hat and a mustache, and then you play as the frog. You know, you can throw it on living beings in New Donk City, which is one of the big areas.
Which is what it's called, by the way.
New Donk City. And there's some deepest lore in there. Because, like, you know, they had the singer was, like, this big jazzy thing where it was singing about the Odyssey and all that. You know, he showed off a few of the worlds.
Which is fucking a fantastic theme, by the way. I love it. And people with... They probably have noticed, but it's fucking Pauline from the original Donkey Kong. She's back again, which is making people excited as fuck. Now, she was, like, forgotten for, like, 20 years, then brought back in the Mario vs. Donkey Kong spinoffs, then forgotten for a few more years again, and now she's back.
Now, see, Alex, you showed me the Donkey Kong timeline, and I think I figured out where the Mario Odyssey game fits into the Donkey Kong timeline. Now, for those who don't know, Alex, do you still have it up?
I remember it off the top of my head. You can just go off of it.
Okay, so...
But all right, here we go.
As Alex mentioned, there's the chronology of the history of the Congo Bongo, the Donkey Kong timeline. Now, as it stands now, it starts off with the legend of the Donkey and the Kong with the creation in Yoshi's Island DS. And then it jumps right to the rise of Mario, the crankiest era, of course, and then Donkey Kong Jr., the Great Banana Split, the Plumber's Change of Heart in the Ministry of Music. This is all obvious. Anyone who even knows a little bit about video games knows about the history of Donkey Kong. But here's where I think Mario Odyssey fits in this timeline. So, Yoshi's Island DS, the man, the ape, the legend, Donkey Kong is born. He's a star child. You know, him, Wario, I don't remember who was playable in Yoshi's Island DS. But Donkey Kong. So, here's the thing. So we know about the rise of Mario and Cranky Kong being the original Donkey Kong. But if he was called Cranky, where did he get the name Donkey Kong from? New Donk City. Here's what I'm presenting to you, Alex. Okay? I hope you're sitting down, or standing up, or laying on your mattress on the floor. I'm sorry, you don't have a mattress. You just have, like, a blanket, because you're fucking awful.
I'm a savage.
Here's what I'm thinking. So, Cranky Dong Kong climbs up to the top of the city, kidnaps the mayor, Pauline, of New Donk City, and Mario has to climb there and take him down, like the gorilla he is. And this is actually what was depicted years and years and years ago in the game Donkey Kong. It was the fall of Cranky, whose name was changed over, you know, the ravages of time to Donkey Kong, and only recovered once again in the Donkey Kong Country series after the Great Banana Split. So the timeline...
I wanted to point out something, actually, Tad, before you continue. If you didn't notice on the big stage where it said New Donk City, the O was a star, just like the Donkey Kong text.
Exactly. Everything fits together.
It's deepest lore, dude.
The Legend of the Donkey and the Kong, the creation in Yoshi's Island DS, the crankiest era begins with Mario Odyssey and ends with Donkey Kong, the Rise of Mario. The wicked plumber cages the hero, Alex. We could talk for literally probably two more minutes about this.
Fuck you.
Anyway, so this year's E3 was really, really, really good. Every single big event had a lot of really good games. The best moment by far was the dude at Ubisoft calling it the X-Bone. It was pretty good. You know, a lot of games getting showed off. A lot of good-looking stuff.
I was definitely not liking it at first, because there really wasn't anything I was interested in the first 2 days. You know, the Shadows of War was pretty good, and Dragon Ball FighterZ, but I knew that before E3, so I wasn't too super hyped for that one, you know? I was like, yeah, this is alright, Sea of Thieves looks okay. But then, like, once Sony hit, it got really good.
Yeah, like, Microsoft was way better than I expected, Sony was great, EA was surprisingly good by showing off a lot of indie games,
and you know what, like, I just realized, Tad?
Hey, Battlefront 2 is actually going to be a video game this time.
Hold up, Tad. I just realized something about going off this list here. You didn't mention Bethesda.
Oh yeah, they had a conference. Yeah, absolutely nothing happened at Bethesda's conference. We don't need to talk about that.
Wolfenstein's there, dude.
Oh, hold up. Oh, there's your new Wolfenstein.
You didn't like Wolfenstein?
Oh, I threw both out the window, Alex. Oh, shit, there it goes again.
But
no one cares.
You don't want to talk about paid mods coming back once again?
I'm okay with paid mods if they're there from the start. You shouldn't be able to retroactively make them paid mods, but that's a conversation for a different episode, because paid mods are actually, like, a whole fucking thing.
A real hot topic.
Ooh, boy. But, everyone here, everyone listening knows my struggle. A few more days left until Goku is announced for the Switch version of Smash Bros. Stay with me, stay strong, live strong. I'm gonna make some orange bracelets with the little Kami symbol on them. It's gonna say fucking Goku and Smash. Stay with me, my fellow Gokis. That's what we call ourselves in our community, Alex. You can't fucking silence us. Goku will be in Smash. Goku will be in Smash, brothers!
Tad, wanting Goku in Smash is like making Revival. You're just wasting your time.
Alright, speaking of Revival, let's go ahead and do our plugs at the end here.
Good, good, good.
Alright, so you can find us on Twitter at LetMeTellYouPD. You can find us here on YouTube, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play. There's also, as Alex mentioned, and I mentioned, our D&D podcast that I do called Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast. You find that on the same YouTube channel. You find it on iTunes, Google Play. It's a ton of fun, and I love doing it. There's also a Discord that we're hanging out in. We watched E3, and everyone hopped in the voice chat, had a gay old time. There's also a Patreon, which is super, super, super helpful in getting us all of our equipment and all that shit. And we've got some fun stuff lined up in the future related to that should be pretty interesting. We're really close to the newest goal, which is a bonus Noise Boys, and then after that's a pretty fun one that I really hope that we can get to, but that's all in the future. For now, stay strong, my fellow Gokis.